Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
You know, we spend so much time in the office, late nights, and even weekends. There's never enough time at home with family and friends, right? Well, there is a way to strike a balance. Get your work done and spend more time at home with GoToMyPC. With just a click, you can instantly access your office computer from any internet connection. GoToMyPC, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest remote access service available. Improve your work life and really create some balance with GoToMyPC. And in fact, you can try it free for 30 days. For this special offer, you have to visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. Hi, it's Andrew Horowitz, and this is the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 102. Welcome, 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 and thank you for joining me today. I thought what today would do is change it up and get right into a discussion about tools. So many times people have asked me, you know, what is it that you use? Like, how do you track things? What do you do? And, you know, there's some great free tools out there. We've talked about the MSN Money site with their screener and with, you know, the portfolio manager they have. And there's never a shortage of information on FinViz. If you haven't checked that out, FinViz.com, financial visualizations. Yahoo has just a terrific website when it comes to information, historical pricing, charting, fundamental analysis, so fundamental information, at least, I should say. But you know what? There's also some great tools that I use in terms of for charting and for more in-depth. If you want to go one step further and look at charting, maybe not from stock charts, which I love, but maybe, again, one step further. How do you find detailed information going back, you know, 60 and 70 years? How do you find, you know, ways in which you can customize the entire experience? So that, for example, maybe you want to find a stochastic that's different than the usual. Maybe you want to look at a couple of different indications. One of the things that we did is we created our own index, the BIC, B-I-C, Brazil, India, and China versus the BRIC, which is, of course, with Russia in there for the R. But we wanted to track the BIC, so we were able to do so on a system that we use through TradeStation. And just so happens that TradeStation is right down the block from me. How convenient. They're about 2 miles or maybe 5 miles away from me, actually. And one of the lead guys is a very good friend of mine. We met as we were doing, I was taking some training classes. I really like to get really in-depth into things. And we were learning this language that they use for programming. And I spent some time with him, met him in New York. And we had some great times. And also, I thought that I would bring him to you to kind of talk about what a great tool this is. Because if you're really serious about investing, you have to have good tools. Without it, you know, what's the point? So what I thought I would do is bring my friend Michael Burke, who is the director, vice president of training, institutional training for TradeStation. Mike, how are you?
It's a pleasure to join you, Andrew.
You know, I think the last time that we met, we were having a really good steak together, and, well, actually, the steak wasn't that good, but the shrimp was great, wasn't it?
Yes, that's a great restaurant. I think we came on a bad night.
Maybe a few years too late for their prime time. Anyway, hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you about let me set the stage here a little bit. So, TradeStation is this unbelievable platform that, frankly, is so immense that I think that sometimes people get a little bit lost in how incredible it is. What I mean by that is, there, you know, a lot of times you can go to places like Stock Charts or somewhere, and you get these like pre-canned piece of information. You throw it on a chart, whether it's a MACD, this oscillator, this volume level, this trend line. Where TradeStation is different, as I see it, is it gives you just an unlimited amount of flexibility, not only to do those kind of things, but to also build your own technical analysis on. So you can take a look at not only technical analysis, but then you could do things like looking backwards at the strategy that you would build with that. So tell me kind of, you know, in your sense, you know, an individual, what's the best use they can get out of something like this?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, when they come to TradeStation, you know, they've heard so many great things about it. They think it's this immense tool. But, you know, we really make it easy to get started. you know, as you said, you go to Stock Charts, get a chart of MACD. Well, you can go to TradeStation, and even if you're just a novice trader, you can open up TradeStation, open up the charts that you're looking for, add the pre-canned indicators. But, you know, what really sets TradeStation apart is that you never grow out of TradeStation. You can customize the indicators that you're looking at. You can build trading strategies and backtest them and optimize them. And with TradeStation, once you've got that idea and it's backtested, you can automate it so that it actually makes the trades for you automatically into the marketplace. So, you know, TradeStation is one of those things that you can never outgrow. And where you want to take it, really, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, because what you've done is you've pretty much, I don't want to call it open source, but you've made it open so that when you learn a language that you guys call easy language, which, you know, you have to learn it before you call it easy language. Let's face that fact.
Well, that's true.
There is some.
easy language, you know, is actually an easy language, but it is a programming language that's really the industry standard. You can't open up a book or a magazine or a website that doesn't have, you know, some examples of easy language indicators and strategies that you can just download right into TradeStation. That's a big advantage.
Right. Well, one of the things that I like, you know, we use this Quantafunda Techna process, whereas we use quantitative analysis screening, which I'm going to talk to you about in a second. I want to talk to you about that. Then we use the fundamental analysis to look at the internal workings of what's happening under the hood of a stock. And then we go next level on the technical analysis to make sure that we're investing, hopefully at the right time, what our price points are, where they are in relation to where the stock is trading now. But what's interesting is that when I first started using TradeStation some time ago, actually you didn't have all three components. I had to go to a few different areas to get some of that. And recently you've added that. You have a top-notch screener. I got to tell you, seriously, all kidding aside, what a wonderful piece of, it's really not a piece of software because it's embedded in your software. But, you know, this is where you can enter things like, for example, I want to find stocks that are over $500 million in size and that have trading patterns such as, or volume maybe over a million shares per day, price over $10 per share, PE ratio over 5, PEG ratio under 2. All these unlimited amounts of information, not only on the technical side, from the pricing side, but also on a fundamental side. So you do this giant screen. That's how we get our stocks. And what's nice about it is it stores your previous runs, and it can automate that. So tell me a little bit about what brought you. This is kind of cool because I don't actually know this. What brought you to put the screener into the program?
Well, you know, we actually have always had this amazing real-time screener called Radar Screen. And Radar Screen was a tool that, you know, is very unique in the industry. It allows you to scan real-time for all of the different things that you need to look at, whether it's price or volume or fundamental or technical historical indicators. And again, that's what really sets, you know, that real-time scanner Radar Screen apart, is that you can put the same indicators that you look in a chart, you can put them into Radar Screen and scan it real-time. Let me back you up on that
because I don't think people that don't know what TradeStation is know what that means. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
So for example, let's just make this easy. Let's use MACD. A lot of people use the moving average convergence divergence indicator. They like it because it shows a quick crossover, and when, you know, the moving average over a period of time crosses over this and diverges and all that. But let's forget about if it's a good or bad indicator for a moment and just talk about that. It gives a signal. When the moving average crosses above or below, it could be a buy or sell signal, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, whether or not you want to use that is a different story. But again, we're just using this for a discussion. What's interesting is if you put it on a chart, you could look at it on a one-off basis. So you look at IBM, you look at a MACD, it tells you what you have in front of you. What's the difference between that and Radar Screen?
Well, the thing is that in Radar Screen, think of a quote window where every row in that quote window is now a chart, and you can set that row to any bar interval. So instead of looking at MACD on just one up with IBM at 1 minute, you can look at MACD on every stock in the S&P 500 all at the same time. It's like having 500 charts open. And it's calculating MACD real-time tick by tick on all 500 symbols. So the moment that MACD crosses above zero or below zero, you've got a trading opportunity that you couldn't have found unless you had 500 charts open, which nobody can have 500 charts open. So it's an incredible opportunity finder.
What's interesting is that actually what I like about it, and I'm going to tell everybody what I think is so cool about it, is that it actually brings institutional-level viewing of the markets to an individual at a very, very low entry cost.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If this was actually, let's say that TradeStation didn't invent this, but somebody else invented it and decided to turn it into an institutional tool – it would be who knows what it would cost per month. Well, you know what some of these institutional tools cost. It's amazing.
No, they're unbelievable. I mean, we had a product, I remember a few years back from S&P that would cost me, it was something in the neighborhood about $28,000 a year for the baseline product, which was just to pull fundamental data out of a historical database that went back pretty far.
Right, it was just the S&P. One tool, right, yeah. For 28,000.
That was one tool. Yep.
It's incredible.
Yep. Well, yep. And then there's another tool we use that's 50,000. So this is not even anywhere near that.
No. Getting back to, but the reason I mentioned radar screen first was because, now, take that concept of being able to scan real time on 500 symbols for MACD. What the scanner does is it allows you to combine price and volume and fundamental, and the same concept that's in radar screen, the ability to take MACD and scan on every single symbol in the universe so that you can find MACD opportunities, not just on 500 symbols real time in radar screen, but now on every single symbol in the universe of symbols. Now, it's not real time, it's on demand, but it's still an amazing opportunity finder.
How often is that updated?
Whenever you click run scan.
So on the weekends, it's just the end of Friday, because we usually do a lot of scanning on the weekends.
Right.
And you also have the ability to now automate that. You can actually have that running in the background whenever you want.
Correct. You can schedule it to run the scan on Friday evening or Monday morning before the market's open, whenever you need it.
Hmm. And not to be a commercial for TradeStation, but what's really cool about that is that's just one component of this whole platform. So what you do is, this is how we do it. Something of this nature. We use a lot of different tools, but this is one of the core tools we use. So we do a scan. We have several scanning criteria. By the way, I don't know if I told you this in our last conversation. One of the scans we use for a quality scan for stocks, we use basically a very heavy, low debt, reasonable earnings growth, ROE, a few different things, probably about 10 or 12 different components to find what we call our quality scan, to find quality stocks. In the beginning of the year, we had about, I think it was 15 on there, about 15 names on there or so. We only have 3 on there now.
Really?
Yeah, which is kind of an interesting thing. It kind of has been progressively, we look, and what's nice is that when you do a scan, it saves it. So we look back to see what was on there, and just because they're kind of getting plucked off one by one, and you can see why and when things happen. But it's pretty scary, and that's why we were very skeptical of the markets recently in the back end here because of some of the things. Or actually, you had to be very selective, I should say. But so now, next thing I want to ask you is MACD. You know, a lot of people use, I think, technical analysis. I'm gonna make some people upset here. As a crutch, it's kind of an easy play. For most people, getting good fundamental data is very difficult, very very difficult. And if it's, it has to be scrubbed, you have to know, make sure it's right. It has to be just really pristine data, in my opinion. The second thing is that technical analysis, in a way, sometimes gives you very good and easy alerts, if you will. Let's kind of focus in on the MACD again as one. So it tells you when to buy and sell something. But I think that a lot of times, people, still are very skeptical about their various indicators. So what does TradeStation offer to kind of help you prove whether this is a good investment, and then to kind of help you into the investment to make sure that you're not doing like an emotional overlay, which I think is one of the biggest problems when investing?
Well, The great thing about TradeStation is that certainly we have the MACD indicator in there, and you can visualize MACD on any chart at any interval. But we take it to that next step so that when MACD gives you the buy signal or it gives you the sell signal, you can ask the question, if I would have taken that buy signal for the last 3 months, how much money would I have made? What is the probability of success? What would have my drawdown risk been during that last 3 months? So that before you decide that, okay, I'm going to buy when MACD crosses above zero, or I'm going to sell when it crosses below, you have a guideline now to see whether or not that's actually been working or not. Indicators like MACD, which is kind of a trending indicator, only works when the market is trending. So if you're in a mode where the market is moving sideways, it doesn't matter how good the indicator is. If you're in the wrong market mode for the indicator that you're looking at, it's not going to work. And strategy backtesting allows you to learn those things, what indicators work in what environments and what markets, so that when you get the buy signal, you can say, yes, I should be taking that trade, or no, that's the wrong time to take that trade. And without TradeStation, without the ability to backtest, I don't know how you would trade an indicator without that historical perspective.
Well, you just visualize it, kind of take a visual kind of snapshot of whether it was good or bad. That looks like it was good. That looks like it was good. But I'm not necessarily sure if that works so well. I don't know. I think that's probably it can't work that well. I mean, you have to have some better sense of quantifying it, don't you?
I agree, and you really shouldn't be looking at indicators in a vacuum. MACD is one, you know, trigger point, but you know, what are the other filters? What are the bigger time frames telling you? Where are the support and resistance levels? You know, you don't want to get into a trending trade if you're approaching, you know, a long term resistance level. So, you know, all of these different pieces come together to formulate a strategy that is back testable, that you have confidence in before you actually make the trade. All of these different elements, you know, like in your book, you talk about all the different elements. Well, with TradeStation, you can put all those different elements into a strategy. You can put the broad market analysis and the fundamental analysis, and then the indicator rules for actually when to get into the market. All of that can be back tested.
Cool stuff. So what is some of your favorite indicators? What do you, I mean, I know you build some custom ones, but in this, which is, I don't think this is a trending, well, we have trending markets, but it's a kind of a very choppy trending. It's all over the place, right?
Yes.
So what kind of indicators can you be using these days to give us a little bit of maybe, what would you use to give you a market overview of what's happening?
You know, I'm a very visual technical analyst. I'm looking for support and resistance levels, and any kind of a tool that can tell me where the market is for strong support or strong resistance, that's gonna start lining up in my favor on which direction I'm gonna make that trade. So, you know, things like price channels and at different intervals and different look back periods, those are great for setting up support and resistance levels, and then you confirm those support and resistance levels with things like Bollinger Bands or some of the more traditional indicators like RSI and stochastic. When all of those are lining up at a resistance level or support level, you know at that point what side of the market you need to be on, and then you look for a trigger.
What's interesting, as I found, is because we have these little mini episodes, we'll call it, of, you know, movement up or movement down, you know, whether we have this big rally, the slow stochastics have been a great indicator of turning points. Did you notice that?
Well, again, turning points at what interval? You know,
I'm just talking about daily for a minute here. Just general market, you know, just for a moment. I have found that, generally speaking, again, this is not absolute, but generally speaking, a slow stochastic, when it's overbought, yeah, it's overbought. When it's oversold, yeah, it's oversold.
Yeah, you know, and well, I think that's a function of the price action that we've been seeing. You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's been so remarkable.
October,
yeah.
You know, the price action since October, even though the trend has been down, it has been very choppy. And, you know, those kinds of indicators like stochastic and RSI, they work great when the market is in the mode it is in right now.
Have you heard of I just kind of happened upon something called a stochastic RSI.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a combination of the two, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting. Have you ever heard of a stochastic?
Oh, come on.
In fact, I've heard of a stochastic, and I'm not kidding. So actually what you do is you take the stochastic or the RSI indicator, and that becomes the price input for the stochastic or the RSI indicator. So basically
it's like what we've talked about in the various times we talked about, an indicator on an indicator.
It's an indicator on an indicator. And the beauty of TradeStation, this platform, it makes that so easy to create. So any idea like that, you know, you want to look at, you know, a stochastic of a linear regression line, you know, you can do that on the fly with TradeStation. I mean, that's really the power of the platform, is to be able to.
So just to get back to the stochastic, to get back to the stochastic RSI, it would seem to me, just thinking through this for a moment, that an RSI is a relative strength index. Now, usually a relative strength index is a something as compared to something else, because you have to have relative to what, right? So oftentimes it's the S&P 500, I mean, usually. But it could also be just a general directional movement too, right?
Well, in this case, RSI is a Wells-Wilder concept, which is very similar to stochastic. It just uses a slightly different price input, but it's looking at the same thing. It's looking for where is the calculation now compared to where it was over the last 9 bars or 14 bars. So it's called relative strength index, it's a different concept than the way you and I think of relative strength, you know, where you're comparing one market against the other.
So when you add the relative strength, when you do the stochastic on the relative strength,
what it's doing,
what is that now telling us?
You know, stochastic is where is the price in a range of prices. So all this is doing is it's calculating where is RSI in a range of RSIs.
Is the RSI, so then it technically is a bit smoothing, right? Isn't it a bit smoothing of that?
That's exactly the right answer. It's a smoothing process.
Right. So, but still, it's RSI is still the relative of the relatively where it's been. It's the relative of itself.
Yes.
And sometimes we call that incest, but that's another story entirely. But so let's go one step further, because I first of all, I'm fascinated by this. You know, we, as a matter of fact, a lot of times when you and I have built a variety of different indicators. I like to look at performance and weekly, monthly performance over time, and we built all these really cool models so we could see, you know, how things are playing out, and then working from there. And we built a new, as a matter of fact, we're about to put out very soon. We built the new BIC index, which is versus the BRIC, which is your Brazil and Russia and India and China. This is just, we took Russia out, figuring that Russia is pretty much a real bad place to be looking right now, only because we want to see the X major, we want to see more of the commodity plays right now, X oil. And so we have that, and we just built that recently, and it was a 3-component, and we're going to actually put that out to show some of our clients some of these areas why we're investing in here and comparatively. But the ability to write these indicators, of course, is there. But what about the ability to write strategies? You know, take me through a little bit of why somebody would want to do something like that.
Well, think of an indicator. You know, most indicators that we use in charting, regardless of what platform you're charting on, indicators have the ability to turn on an alert. And an alert is simply a rule of when you're looking for something to happen in that indicator. A strategy just takes that alert rule and turns it into a monetary performance. In other words,
so you say something like, if very simply, we'll say, again, very, very simply, if the price crosses over its 20-day moving average, we buy it. If it crosses under, we'll short it, as an example. Or, you know, so you could say, put that into a strategy and then test it backwards.
Correct. At any time,
and then add
frame,
on to that sell stops or whatever you want.
History, TradeStation has historical data, intraday data we have going back 10, 20 years, and daily, weekly, and monthly data on some symbols going back 30, 40. We have the Dow going back 90 years. So
we just put together
amazing
monthly. Amazing
historical database to test your ideas.
So, and not to mention Forex, not to mention, I mean, again, I'm sounding like a little bit of a commercial, but I got to tell you something. You know, it's amazing where you can, we had for a long time, and we still do a little bit, but, you know, you get data from various places. By the way, I want to get the Baltic Dry Index, if we can, in there. It's an index that a lot of places have, but I really want to use that through TradeStation so we can chart that appropriately. We have to kind of bring the third-party data in all the time.
Uh-huh.
So if you can make a little note of that,
I'll make
a note
of that for you.
But basically, and while we're at it, I'll mention that again, kind of banging your drums here. But, so that was the other cool thing that I found, actually not too long ago, that we can actually import data into TradeStation if it's not in TradeStation already. For example, economic data, you know, you want to look at some charting and you don't want to, you know, you want to keep it all inside of TradeStation. Why would somebody want to do that? Well, because then you could use all the indicators on there.
Right.
You can put employment numbers in there.
Yeah, you and I were working with non-farm jobs the other day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then what I could do is I could put all the non-farm payroll numbers in, and I can kind of chart that over time. And in addition to that, put an indicator, like a moving average indicator. I'm probably not going to use any of the trading indicators necessarily, because that's not what that's built for, of course. But I could use all the different components that I want to use to kind of, and the drawing tools and all the things involved in creating a chart. And the way I use charts, by the way, and this may be the same for you, it's all about visualization, understanding in terms of behavioral finance for investing. That's what that's all about. But other things, I could see a history kind of snapshot right in front of me. That's what I like it so much.
It's interesting you mentioned MACD, because MACD is really what I call a second-generation indicator. It creates a better visualization of moving averages. So instead of just watching two moving averages crossing on the chart, the MACD takes it to that next level to where you can actually visualize what's really going on with that moving average cross, with the magnitude of the crosses and how far they get apart. All of that can be seen in a MACD that you can't see if you're just looking at two moving averages. And so visualization is key to coming up with the rules that you're actually going to eventually end up trading.
And I'd be remiss to tell you to not mention that You know, there is Forex, there are indices, there's commodities you can look up, there's all that. That TradeStation obviously is also not only a platform for research, but it's also you have a full-scale brokerage, which individuals can utilize. And that's where the power comes in, I guess. And I'm not sure, I haven't really, to be honest with you, I have not personally gotten my hands around the whole idea of unattended trading. In other words, strategy trading. I know that you guys believe in that, and I know that's something that you do a lot.
Well,
I just haven't.
You said unattended.
Yeah.
I don't believe in unattended trading either.
That would be kind of
strategy
weird.
Automation is certainly a tool where you can have it actually make the trades for you. But, you know, we don't recommend that you turn that on and then, you know, go play golf. It's more of a time-saving tool, so you don't have to watch the markets, you know, tick by tick. Well, you know what it's like. When you're in a trade, you know, all you're worried about is that trade because, you're never really sure where you're going to get in or where you're going to get out. But if you have a strategy that has that all set up for you where you know where you're going to get in, you're going to get out, you can turn that on and you can relax. You don't have to stress about each individual trade that you're making. So it's the tool, but it's not a tool that I would say that you set it and forget it.
Right. Well, by the way, and this is something that's interesting because that what we just talked about is what we talk about on the institutional level of program trading. That's just a different word for it. And we talk about how trades are triggering. We talk about recently we talked about the 800 level, the 780 level, 806 level on the S&P 500, and there was going to be a lot of trades triggered, program trading. And you know, when we look at this kind of situation for individuals where they say this strategy went across the 20-day, went across the 50-day. And I got to tell you something, which I found this to be interesting. When the more and more people that are using those kind of techniques, like a 20-day, a 50-day, we know, and listen, as a professional, we know that an individual investor is going to like look at that and say, hey, that's a great buying opportunity oftentimes because that's what's been taught. And if we know that, what we could do is if you're on the long side or on the short side, look for that. If it crosses on the down, realize a lot of people are going to be selling. And what you could do is then realize that you may be able to pick up some stocks at a low point if you buy them a little bit under there, because there's going to be a lot of selling pressure that's undue because of this trading technique, if you will. And at the same time, on the upside, you realize that you hit some marks, you're going to get some shorts being blown out because they have to cover at those levels. Maybe a great time to get in for a short, as an example. And that's the one thing that does concern me is when you have I don't want to call it the automation, but you have these kind of things that become well known. How much does that diffuse and that homogenize and that kind of dilute the process's abilities? In other words, if everybody's trading, again, come back to this MACD for just a discussion, but if everybody is trading on a MACD, if that theoretically was happening, right, how much is that then diluted?
Well, if everyone was trading MACD, you're right. That would certainly, MACD would eventually, the markets would all flatten out and MACD would be, oscillating over zero all the time. But the markets are so diverse, so large, so big, so international, and no one is looking, there's not enough people looking at any one idea to really affect, and how do you know what everyone else is looking at? So, I think you need to take the approach that I'm going to know what I know. I'm going to look at the things that I look at, and then I'm going to react to the market as the market, unfolds each day. So I think the markets are just so big that we really are not looking at any one thing that's really going to affect the market to any major extent.
Right. Okay, so, a lot of people ask me about how I've set up this how I set up my office and just my office alone, not anybody else in here. And I thought maybe, I don't know if you've seen it, but I don't know if this is a traditional kind of setup, Mike, but here's what it looks like. So I have a Vista machine, a very powerful Vista machine with 3 or 4 gigs of RAM. I have a special SLI card hookup so I can have 4 monitors that run off of one machine. And TradeStation runs with 4 distinct desktops spread across the entire each one. So each particular monitor has a desktop. Inside of the desktops are workspaces, and then there's Windows. This is how much data you can actually, this is kind of cool because there's this great little button that says arrange all. I find that comes in really handy, Mike, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have I have radar screens, which are these kind of just lists, and I have charts, and I have in one of them called research, and I put that on my left screen, and we are always doing scans in the background and finding what's happening, getting alerts of what's going on, because the alerts will automatically give you a quick bing or hit your phone or your beeper if you have whatever you have. It will hit your mobile device on an alert. automatically through SMS text messaging and come up on your screen and scream at you and do all sorts of great stuff. And then I have four monitors that are jam-packed with information. One of them is kind of a performance monitor. One of them is my basic charting. We use different colorations because we could do... Hey, you know that? You know what I really like, by the way? The gradient and colorations so that you could see volume trends that go from, let's say, a red to a bright yellow. So we have these bar charts, and we use gradient coloring because I really love heat maps. Just love heat maps. We could see what's happening in terms of performance and pricing. I don't have to look at any particular number. I could just scan across the screen and see kind of in a heat map style what's let's say, blue, which is cold, and green and very profitable, and red, which is, unprofitable, let's say, or losing money.
Yeah, we call that smart styling so that you can create any rule, and based on a proximity or based on a magnitude, you can change the color anywhere within that 16 million color palette.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. And then we have, actually, we use Excel, and we're still working on this, Mike. You and I have talked about this. We're still working on the whole process of perfecting our whole of what we want to do with Excel. That is, we have an ability to actually export and import on the fly. In other words, internally to Excel. So we have spreadsheets of portfolios there and models there, so we can keep them live and active at all times with quotes coming directly from TradeStation. And then to the right, we have what's called our hot list. And one of the things that I think, I don't know if this is new, but you have a hot list that has the 2-minute hotties, we'll call them. So moving really fast on a 2-minute chart.
Rapidly rising, rapidly falling.
Which is great because, and sometimes they don't look like they really are. It's all, I guess, relative also. But you could find some real winners there. How do you find something really flying up the charts? And again, it's kind of like driving a 747 around here, right? You follow what I'm saying? And, it can get very difficult. So you need to kind of take all that information and condense it down so that you can, as I see it, from a left to a right pan, I could see what's happening with the markets, where things are going, and making sure that, our positions are holding up properly. Is that, what kind of things do you see out there in terms of setups?
Yeah, well, exactly. Multiple monitors is really the rule of the day. Now everybody's got multiple monitors. And certainly with the ability to, create multiple desktops, it makes it very easy to organize all the different views that you need to look at. And because Easy Language, is so efficient, it's very possible to have, well, I've seen your setup. You've got lots of different things open all at the same time. They're all updating in real time. So, you really don't give anything up by having, too much on the chart. You can always keep your finger on the pulse of whatever you're looking at. But definitely, I have seen some pretty amazing setups from some of our clients. You can actually drive 8 monitors from one computer if you have that second that second card in the computer. So it's incredible.
You do the splitters. Let me ask you something. This is totally off topic here, and I'm just curious. This one of the things I really like also is text styling. There's a couple of different ways to do this where you can put text on a chart. So for example, you can put information just smack dab in the middle of the chart of whatever you want to see. One thing, this is a technical issue, I'll ask you. Is there any way to style the text font from Easy Language?
No, the font is because of the way that we have engineered the text drawing. It uses one universal style for font and size.
Okay.
So that has to be set, and then that's the only size that and font that you can use. It's certainly something we've been talking about changing to do it programmatically. I mean, you can do change just about everything else programmatically within the platform, but
right,
that's one of those
font.
Things that.
Yep. Yeah, you have to get a whole team to change from an 11 to a 12. and then the other thing, I guess, is that if someone wants to, first of all, that was a great addition you had recently of adding those quick tips. What do you call them?
Called quick tips.
Oh, there you go.
That's exactly what they're called.
So that was great. So people could understand how to learn how to use this. So if someone wants to kind of understand and get their feet wet in understanding how TradeStation works and using the product and seeing a demo, whatever you do, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, on our website, we have all of the information about not only brokerage services, but the platform services, the data, all of that information is available on our website. Many of the educational tools are also available from the website, some of the tutorials and the quick tips. Some of these things are available right from the website, even if you're not a client. But once you become a client, a whole world of additional educational tools open up to you, including live training, online seminars, number of books that we offer. All of those things become available once you're on board as a client.
Great. And yeah, the other thing is the Forex trading, which I think is Forex. And we didn't mention, again, I just know this because we use all these different, it's not like I don't have a cheat sheet in front of me. We use all these things, is futures. You have a great futures platform also with a great, what is, I always forget the name of this. What do you call the level two view that you have?
We call it market depth.
Yeah, market depth. That's very
market
cool.
Market depth allows you to look into the market and see who all the players are, where the prices are, where the volume is at each price level. And you can look at that really for any stock or future, even options. You can look at it. You know, by the way, Andrew, you know that the CME is launching some new mini FX futures. And they're being launched right away. It's a brand new contract where it's designed for retail traders. So they can get into the FX market in a more traditional futures environment.
And a much smaller size.
In a much, much smaller size, much smaller margin. You've got the security and the backing of the CME in this product. So I think that's been really, I think they're going to start trading Sunday.
You know, what's interesting is that when it comes to Forex, it used to be something that was, first of all, institutional. It was used as oftentimes hedging. And it was rather, we won't say it wasn't exciting, but it was bland. It wasn't a lot of movement, right? I mean, for a long time.
Yes.
Things have changed. With Helicopter Ben destroying the dollar and the rest of the world seemingly doing the same, the movements are just absolutely mesmerizing.
And then you couple that with some of the really low margins and how much you're controlling with very low margins.
Oh yeah,
the leverage is incredible. So
incredible.
You've kind of got this perfect storm of volatility and leverage here.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the future? We'll end on this. What do you see the future? First of all, TradeStation is a publicly traded company under the symbol of TRAD, trade on the NASDAQ. You have a market cap about what, $275 million,
somewhere in there.
And hopefully rising, of course, for you. What do you see in the future? Anything interesting happening in the future in terms of, you can tell us?
Well, you know, the thing is, where when a lot of people are pulling back, you know, TradeStation is really an amazing technology company. We are still actively looking for bring on new people in our technology division, engineering and product management. We're growing, we're expanding, and you know, we're going to be looking at a lot of different markets that we can take TradeStation to. Certainly, there's a very large international market out there that is perfect for TradeStation. So,
and you just came back from China not too long ago, I think, right? Didn't you go to China?
No.
You didn't go to China?
No, I didn't go to China.
I thought you did. I think we should go together. I can come along and talk about like how you invest, and you can talk about how TradeStation does it.
It's interesting. I have a lot of friends in the industry who are traveling to Dubai to do trading seminars, and apparently that is a very active financial market right now.
I think maybe we could work something out. Yeah, I'm telling you do the training and stuff like that, and talk and how to use the TradeStation package, and I'll talk about how that we do the different quanta fund detect. Oh, what a great, and we can go to Dubai and have a steak there, or maybe some Indian food there, or something. We can have Dubai food. Anyway,
perfect.
Listen, Mike, I want to thank you very much. Michael Burke, who is, the Vice President of Institutional Training, good friend of mine. Actually, we'll also be together in Vegas for the Money Show coming up, I believe, together. And
absolutely.
I think that I will put a link to the best way to find the information on TradeStation, to get the information to find out what it's all about. And I encourage you at a high level, and I'm giving a plug, I am not paid to do this. I am not at all compensated and no kickbacks. No AIG kickbacks on this one.
Well, we really don't have a budget for it anyway, Andrew.
Right. Well, my price is so high, it's ridiculous anyway. I mean, you know, to get in here like that. But seriously, I really encourage you. I think it's a really cool platform, at least if nothing else, to know about, because you need to know about all these tools before you become a very successful and disciplined investor. Michael Burke, thanks so much for joining me on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It was a pleasure.
Great. There you have it, TradeStation, and some tools to use. I think that I mentioned a few of them that I think are my favorites. Again, stockcharts.com. FinViz is excellent. If you haven't checked out FinViz, I would highly recommend going to the site and just kind of scoping it out. Great stuff on there. MSN Money, Yahoo. Google's okay. I mean, Google's got some real problems, I think. I mean, it hasn't been really updated. It's a little messy, and it's just not one of my favorite sites. It's a good starting point, I think, to kind of get a quick look at what's going on. But again, not my favorite place in terms of financial websites. There's plenty of others we look at on a regular basis. The NASD, NASDAQ, that is. NASDAQ.com, and NYSE, I should say. So, I mean, I think there's some great ones out there that you can check out. You know, we did something last year. We had something called the BSBY Awards, the blogs and the educational sites and things like that. On the DisciplineInvestor.com, there's a whole host, there's a giant list of resources for places that you can go to find tools and information to use that we use on a regular basis to find information. I think that would be probably a good starting place to check out some things if you were looking. And of course, if I may plug the book for a minute, there's in the last chapter of the book, as I mentioned, there are all the tools in the newspapers, the various things that we recommend you use, some brokers and how, you know, what's good about them, what's not, who's a good fit for, and how to actually use them. Anyway, so I thought that was a neat thing to kind of bring to you. I hope you enjoyed that, and I would encourage you to go visit TradeStation.com and check out the various tutorials they have and information. I think that you'll find it very interesting. It is a little overwhelming for the first-time user, I will tell you that. The charts are great and easy, but if you want to get a little further, it's a little tough. Anyway, take a look at that, and I think we're going to end it today on a short note, and next week we have some good things lined up as well. I want to thank you for joining me on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. If you have any questions, of course, contact me. Go to the website. There's show notes. Lots of information in there. And don't forget to sign up for DH Unplugged over on iTunes. What else? I think that's good for this week. We'll see you soon next week on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.